Welcome to this week's episode. If you are a brand new listener, I'm glad to have you here. If you've been listening for a while now, you may notice a few things different on this episode. One being there's no music, the second being there's no Lee Griffin, and the third being there's no Scott Boras. Before we get into the meat of the episode here, I would like to explain this to the longtime listeners here. Audio, lack of music, upgraded to a newer editing software. So in the short term, that means I have no idea how to use it, so that I can't really add anything in right now because I don't know how. So short term, it's going to decrease the quality, but long term, it's way more capable than the 2009 version of GarageBand that I have been using to make all of these episodes up until this point. Lee Griffin, he is out today. Something about a Medi Patty appointment he had sounded very important. He couldn't miss it. Whatever that means, he bailed. And then Scott Boras, I called him, said something about trying to avoid his AA sponsor on a lazy river in Orlando. Not sure precisely what that means, but it's just you and I today, which is still good because I got some pet peeves I want to get off. Well, not peeves, plural. This is a big pet peeve of mine. Should make a nice short episode for us. And we'll get everybody hopefully back in next week or the week after that. Pilot's license. I've said it. You've probably said it. We should not be saying it. There's really no such thing as a pilot's license as far as the FAA is concerned here in the United States. It is a pilot's certificate. So basically, I'm going to break down this article from the November and or December 2016 FAA safety briefing, where it's the title is it a certificate, a rating, or a license? Question mark. And then there's also FAR 61.5 certificates and ratings issued under this part being 61, which is 61 is the chapter where they of the regs where they issue all of the certificates, ratings, endorsements, and the laws that apply to that. If you're ever looking this stuff up yourself, you want to know exactly what it takes for each rating, go into the FAR AIM, go to FAR Section 61. It's a gold mine of this kind of information. So we'll get right to it. The FAA safety briefing here. One of the most common sayings in aviation is that your pilot's certificate is a license to learn, and your non-flying friends and family members will always think of that precious bit of plastic as your pilot's license. You might have noticed, though, that the term license doesn't appear in official documents. Certificate. Let's break down the certificate. Certificate equals a privilege level. That's how you can think of it. The authorizing document that the FAA issues is an airman's certificate, which Merriam-Webster defines as a document certifying that one has fulfilled the requirements of and may practice in a field. Okay, this term field, we're not talking Scott Boras, park your plane in a field like a tractor here. It means like a field of expertise or a field of knowledge, that sort of thing. Just wanted to clarify that. A pilot can be certificated, that is a word, to fly an aircraft at one or more of the following privilege levels: unmanned aircraft system, UAS, which is one of the more prestigious pilot certificates, student, sport, recreational, private, commercial, and airline transport pilot, ATP. Although we naturally think of flight instructors as pilots, those airmen certificates are issued separately and called instructor certificates, not pilot certificates. However, a commercial or ATP level pilot certificate is a prerequisite for the issuance and exercise of a flight instructor certificate. In fact, it is now gone. That is weird. Oh. And as I was moving my keyboard, I accidentally stopped the recording. Got it restarted. so commercial pilot's license here, and I renewed it, but I don't know where the renewal card is. This is my expired one. So unless they changed it, it's basically a 7-digit number on my commercial. Would you like the same as your private or your ATP or your student? I don't know. They didn't have the plastic student cards when I was a student pilot. It was just on the back of our medical certificates. But now they issue an actual green card, like a, it just says student pilot, as a kind of a pilot's license, same kind of green card that they put your pilot's license on. And then the medical is completely separate. But anyway, this certificate number, they do call it a certificate on my flight instructor. It's the exact same 7-digit number as my commercial pilot's license, only it's got CFI at the end of it. So that's what I would write in your logbook if I was giving you a flight lesson. I'd do that 7-digit number and then CFI at the end. And then on the back, it says valid only when accompanied by pilot certificate number, that 7-digit number. And then expires, whatever this expiration date is, on your flight instructor. So basically, that's, they're just breaking it down. If you become a flight instructor, you have to have a commercial or an ATP. There are exceptions, I think, to that, like weight shift control and powered parachute can get into sport. You can also get a private pilot's license in those. You're instructing a private pilot without a commercial. I don't know the ins and outs of that. It gets into some weird area. I'm not an expert on that. Maybe we'll have somebody on sometime to explain some of that. But that's the gist of it for now. Rating. Before we go on, we'll do 61.5 certificates and rating issued under this part. We got pilot certificate, student pilot, sport pilot, recreational pilot, private pilot, commercial pilot, airline transport pilot, flight instructor certificates, and ground instructor certificates. Okay, so 1, 2, 3 is pilot certificates, flight instructor certificates, and ground instructor certificates. Ground instructor certificates, I have one. I have to look. I think it's here somewhere on my desk. You can get that without any flight time. It's you basically just pass a written test. And you can get a ground instructor certificate without even being a pilot, which is, I always thought was kind of weird. But you can, in theory, have a bunch of knowledge and just never flown and, in theory, be able to teach it, I guess. That's the rationale. They really only use those in flight schools and stuff. Like, it's got to be, there's something with, you got to be affiliated with a flight school to even use the ground certificate legally. So it's weird. Rating. Rating, they say, equals operating privilege. This is one step in, if you think of like an outline, the certificate would be further left, and then you'd go in a notch, and then you're getting into ratings. That's how I kind of look at it. A rating is an authorization that, as part of a certificate, sets forth special conditions, privileges, or limitations. Ratings specify what and or how the pilot is qualified to fly, except for pilots at the student and sport certification levels, more below. Pilots at each certificate level are rated to fly aircraft in at least one specific category and, if applicable, class. A typical rating on a private pilot certificate is, quote, airplane single engine land. If you complete additional training and testing requirements for a multi-engine class rating, your private pilot certificate will then have ratings for airplane, single, and multi-engine land. All right, so let's grab my commercial here. So it says on the back here, under ratings, it has says commercial pilot, airplane, single engine land and sea, instrument airplane. And then the limitations, it says English proficient, which just means you have to know the English language. And that's a standard issue on all of them, I think. So basically, I had, up until I went to Jack Brown several years ago and got my seaplane add-on, it just said airplane, single engine land, and then instrument airplane. My ratings being airplane single engine, and then Second rating being instrument airplane, meaning I'm certified to fly airplanes under instruments, although I'm not current, but that doesn't matter. I just have to get current. I wouldn't have to go take an instrument check ride. And then they just did ANC, so land and sea, to add single engine C, so I can fly a single engine seaplane now. And what's ironic is my flight instructor certificate, if I go to my ratings, it says flight instructor airplane single engine. It does not differentiate between land and sea. So as soon as I got my, I shouldn't say as soon as, but once I got my seaplane added to my commercial certificate that I need to have accompanying my flight instructor certificate for my flight instructor certificate to be valid, I think I need 15 hours, something like that, 15 hours in type. So I'd have to get some more hours. I don't think I have 15 seaplane time yet. But once I hit that, in theory, I could legally, I wouldn't want to, I'd want way more time than that, but legally speaking, I could teach in seaplanes without having to take another check ride. So that the check ride for the seaplane rating I took with John Brown, that was basically for the privileges of not only the commercial pilot certificate, but also my instructor, my flight instructor certificate, which I thought was weird because it wasn't really, it was mainly a commercial. They didn't really get into flight instructing on that check ride. Back to the safety briefing. For a pilot to act as pilot in command of any aircraft that is more than 12,500 pounds, maximum gross takeoff weight, or turbojet powered, an aircraft-specific type rating is required, in addition to the appropriate aircraft category and class rating. So this is another type of rating, is a type rating, where anything over 12,500 pounds, maximum gross takeoff weight, or if it's turbojet powered, the aircraft-specific type rating is required. So basically, you have to go through specialized training, and they will actually add another rating on the back of your, I guess legally you could be typed, have a type rating in something on the back of your private pilot certificate. You could have a type rating on the back of your commercial pilot certificate for a specific type of airplane, and obviously your ATP. So like in the back of Lee's ATP, he's got multiple type ratings for specific aircraft, airplanes, because he's had different jobs throughout his aviation career. And those all kind of stay on the back of his airline transport pilot certificate. And also on the back of that is he's got a multi-engine land ATP, airline transport pilot certificate. He does not have those, that ATP level of certificate only applies for multi-engine airplane. Now he has a single engine airplane, obviously, but that's, I believe it's on the back. I don't think he's got a separate card. I believe on the back of his ATP, it says under commercial ratings, or under the, not ratings, under the commercial certificate level, he has privileges of single engine airplane and land and sea, because I know Lee is seaplane rated as well. But those are under the commercial privileges, even though they're on the back of his airline transport pilot, ATP pilot's certificate. So that can be a little confusing. And then in addition to that, it's all the type ratings that he has for specific aircraft. Ratings can be added to a certificate when the pilot qualifies for a certain operating privilege, such as an instrument rating applicable to a specific aircraft category and class. Some examples of category and class include airplane, single engine land, glider, rotorcraft, helicopter, etc. Now that's another one. Your instrument rating is a rating. So that's in the ratings category. And part 61.5 in the FARs here, part B, it breaks it down with all of these different category and class ratings, which I want to delve into because I love this kind of stuff. My goal is I want to collect them all someday. So I'll go beyond with the FAA putting the safety briefing here. Aircraft category ratings include airplane, rotorcraft, glider, lighter than air, powered lift, powered parachute, and weight shift control aircraft. Now, that's the category, aircraft category ratings. If you go into the airplane class ratings, or just the aircraft class ratings, I should say, part two here, it breaks it down even further. So the airplane class ratings include single engine land, so airplane single engine land, airplane multi-engine land, airplane single engine C, airplane multi-engine C. So there's four different class ratings of the airplane category that you can get, take a check ride and get on back of your pilot certificate. Part three is rotorcraft class ratings. There's actually two types. There's helicopter, which is what most people think of, and there's also gyroplane, which has a spinning blade, but I don't think it really has the power. I think you can start it with the power or something, but it's mainly got a propeller on the back that's pushing it forward, and it requires that thrust forward like an airplane to keep the rotor wing rotating, and it kind of goes off. I don't know that much about it, so I'll shut up now before I say something that's someone who knows more than me is like, what an idiot. Four is lighter than air class ratings, which has two, which is an airship and a balloon. Airship, unless something's changed recently, airship has less certified airship pilots in the world than there are astronauts. I don't know if that's true. I've heard that places. It's a very, very, very rare rating to have is an airship, which is basically a blimp. If you think of a blimp like the Goodyear blimp or any other number of the blimps. Five, weight shift control aircraft class ratings, which is weight shift control aircraft land, weight shift control aircraft sea. I have taken a lesson. It wasn't really a lesson. It was more of an intro flight in a Cygnet up in, I think, the Tampa area. And it was a blast, absolute blast. It was, basically, this is a triangle, like a hang glider type doodad above you, and you got the hang glider bar, and you're sitting in the seats, and you kind of manipulate it with the wing with the hang glider bar. And then this one was amphibious, so it had wheels and floats. And it was a blast. Very difficult to fly, especially if you already are certified in airplanes. Because on the landing flare on an airplane, you pull back on the yoke in the flare to bring the nose up and bring, you know, either the floats up, in this case, because we were doing mostly float stuff. So you basically bring the nose up in the air right at the end, so you touch down in the back and then bring it in nice and smooth. You pull back on a yoke or you pull back on the stick, in the case of like a J3 Cub or something, on floats. It's opposite on the weight shift control. Because it's direct connect that bar to your wing up there that you're manipulating. So to flare, you actually push forward. And it was very unnerving. It takes a while. I was talking to the guy who was an instructor who was teaching me. And he said, yeah, it's people who don't yet know how to fly anything pick it up a lot faster than like people who are lots of hours in airplanes. Because you got to train your mind to do opposite of what you've been doing for however many hours. So keep that in mind. Six. Powered parachute class ratings, powered parachute land and powered parachute sea. Powered parachute land is pretty obvious to me. I have one lesson in it. It was a blast. And obviously it's wheels and everything. Powered parachute sea, I have no idea how that would work. I've done research on it. I can't find anything. If you know aircraft that is a powered parachute sea, even if it's amphibious, that you could land on water as well as land, let me know. Please send me an email. I've done research, and I don't know. I cannot understand the powered parachute C. Because to launch it and land it, you basically you lay the parachute out back of the carriage thing, and then you throttle it up, and it fills up with air. You got to have this a decent amount of space to set this thing up. And then when you land, it's kind of the reverse. You kind of land that chute behind you and, you know, drop it softly if you do it right in the grass behind you, and then you can pack it up and everything. In the water, I don't know how that'd work. If your carriage is on floats and you drop your parachute in the sea, then you're trying to fish a parachute out of the water. I have no idea how it works, but they do break it down into two different categories here, powered parachute C. So that may be, I don't know. I've never met anybody who has a powered parachute C rating, let alone someone who even knows what it is. Because I always point that out, and there's only, most people don't even know about that, that one exists. So if you have any info on that, please, 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 FARAIM@robertberger.com. And that gets into the aircraft type ratings, which we won't get into. And a note here is for the Part 8 instrument airplane, instrument helicopter, and instrument powered lift. So they did not break down. Yeah, powered lift. One that was mentioned earlier. That's like an Osprey, the military. They were making like civilian ones a couple years ago. I don't know if they're still doing it. I haven't researched it in a while. For like the oil rigs in the Gulf so that they can get the execs back and forth, but also land on the rig. But then once they're up in the air, go as fast as an airplane. Super cool, I think, to fly. But anyway, for the instrument rating, it says instrument airplane on the back of mine. For example, if I were to go add a helicopter, rotorcraft category, helicopter class ratings on the back of my commercial right now, I would not be instrument rated, even though I'm instrument rated in airplanes, because they do divvy it up. Ditto with powered lift. So those, I would have to then take another instrument check ride in a helicopter. If I added power lift, that would be another check ride I'd have to take. And then if I wanted instrument privileges in that powered lift, I would have to then go take another instrument check ride in powered lift to have instrument privileges in the powered lift. And then the airship, that there's something weird with that. I think you can have private pilot privileges, but like the instrument rating and there's no flight instructor rating for the airship because it's such a small community. There's some weird gray area with all that stuff in airships, which I don't know. Just if you're super nerdy into this like I am, like as far as, wait, what if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens? There's just from what I've researched, there's a lot of, it seems like a lot of gray area with airships, blimps, because there's just so few. There's not real, obviously there's people teaching other people once in a while when someone does become a blimp pilot, airship pilot, but there's no CFI, there's no certified flight instructor category for airship. So the person doing that is doing it, I don't know. It's weird. If you know about that, let me know. I'd be super curious. Because right here, it's I'll break down the ratings for flight instructor certificates. You can have one for an airplane, rotorcraft, glider, or powered lift. And then there's single engine, multi-engine. They break it down for your instructor certificate. There's helicopter, gyroplane. They break it down for rotorcraft. And then the instrument is obviously airplane, helicopter, powered lift. And there's the sport pilot rating, which I do not know about that at all. And then ground instructor, you can have basic, advanced, or instrument. I don't know. Hold on. I have no idea which one I have. Let me find it here. Flight instructor. Ground instructor. Ground instructor instrument. Wow. That's the last one I thought I'd have. So if I went and got a basic, basically the test for the written on that one would be shorter. And then the advanced one is like the basic test, only the advanced, more stuff on it. Most people I've heard who've gotten it just go for the advanced. I thought that's what I did, but apparently I just have the instrument. I don't have any of the others. Back to, yes, is it a certificate rating or license? Endorsement. So this is the last thing. Endorsements are not going to be on the back of your pilot certificate. These are things you need for certain items or certain endorsements you need, like a tailwheel endorsement, for example, we talk about a lot. That doesn't actually say that on the back of your pilot's licenses. License. I just broke my own rule from the beginning. It's not going to be on the back of your pilot certificate. These are just going to be going in your logbook, signatures from the CFI who is qualified to give you that endorsement. We'll go into it here. An endorsement attests to the successful completion of a ground and or flight training required for specific operating privileges or for an airman testing and certification. That's meaning the you can get an endorsement to go take a written test for like the private pilot's license, for example. You need an endorsement to go take that test. You just can't call them up and say, hey, I studied, I'm ready. You got to have an endorsement from a CFI, or if you take a like an online course, they'll have a printout usually that will allow you to then take that printout and go schedule an appointment and go sit for the test. Endorsements and recommendations are normally provided in the pilot's logbook. The endorsements required for Title 14 Code of Federal Aviation's 14 CFR per 61 and 141 affect many airmen certificates and privileges, whatever that means. Student pilots is the first one they break down here. Because student pilot certificates do not include aircraft category and class ratings, operating privileges and limitations for solo flight are provided exclusively through instructor endorsements that specify the make and model. Student pilot endorsements often include certain weather requirements and other operating limitations. So this is bringing back up something mentioned earlier where the student pilot certificate, even though it's a green card now, like a kind of looks like a pilot's license. If you weren't looking that closely, it just looked like some sort of FA certification. Which the if you're like a mechanic, that's going to be the same looking card. So it's they use it for everything, that green card. This basically means there's no category class or for the student pilot certificate, that green card you have. They're not going to print anything on the back. When you solo an airplane with that certificate, you need an endorsement from a flight instructor for specifically that make and model of aircraft to be flown. And then there's a lot of times they put in a lot of limitations. Scott and I's instructor did not. We had no limitations other than stay in the local area, which was the only limitation put on it. Whether that's good or not, we've talked about on previous episodes. Sport pilots, like a student pilot certificate, a sport pilot certificate is issued without aircraft category and class ratings. Logbook endorsements specify the category, class, make, and model of aircraft that the sport pilot is authorized to fly as pilot in command. So if you're doing sport pilot stuff, this is, I admit I do not know much about the sport pilot stuff. I've never dealt with any of it, but it sounds like it's the same. It's similar to that student where it doesn't actually specify on the back of the green pilot certificate you have in your wallet what category and class of aircraft you're allowed to fly. Those are all based off of instructor endorsements in your logbook that you would have to have accompanying, you'd have to have with you. Okay. Not getting that word today. Testing for a certificate or rating. To take a knowledge or practical test for most pilot certificates and ratings, the applicant must have endorsements attesting to knowledge, flight proficiency, aeronautical experience, and practical test preparation. This is what I mentioned earlier. That's considered an endorsement. Usually it would go in your logbook that you have to go take a written test if you need it. Recurrent training to maintain the operating privileges for pilot certificate or instrument rating, the pilot must have an endorsement verifying satisfactory completion of the required recurrent training or checks. Example, a flight review. So at least every 24 calendar months, you got to have a flight review. That's an endorsement that you've completed a flight review that you'll have in your logbook. If you have an instrument rating like me, I have the instrument rating on the back of my commercial for airplane, but I am not current. I do not have an endorsement that would be also required saying I have the endorsement to do it right now. I'd have to go do that. Aircraft characteristics. The requirement for a type rating is limited to large, greater than 12,500 pounds maximum gross takeoff weight, and turbojet-powered aircraft. However, certain small and piston-powered aircraft have characteristics that require additional training and specific endorsements. These endorsements include those for complex airplanes, which we've discussed in the past as flaps. If it has flaps, a controllable pitch propeller, and retractable landing gear, that is considered a complex airplane. You need a special endorsement to fly one of those. That includes training with a flight instructor. There's the high performance endorsement, which we've discussed in the past. If the plane has, it's either more than 200 horsepower or 200 horsepower and or more? I believe it's 200 horsepower or more. That's the more conservative guess. So if I'm wrong, I was wrong by one horsepower. So you need a high performance endorsement in your logbook, which includes getting training from a CFI who's qualified to teach in that plane, high altitude endorsement, which we've discussed this a few times. A lot of times with this one, it seems like from the guys I know, gals I know who are flying like jets, they never specifically got that endorsement in their logbook. They just got a type rating in something that was high altitude, and then that type rating allows it. So yeah, a lot of people don't even end up having that one as a specific endorsement in their logbook. Tailwheel, which we've discussed at great lengths, which I would say out of all of these, I don't have, and the next one's glider ground operations. I'm not sure what that endorsement is, so I'm not even going to get into it. But the tailwheel I can speak to specifically. That is the most, that's almost, in my opinion, should be like something that's on the back. Because it's such, if you've never flown tailwheel before, and you've flown a bunch in just conventional gear airplanes, tricycle gear, I should say, that's a huge, can be a huge learning curve. It's not to be underestimated. I underestimated it when I went to go do it, and then I'm like, wow, that's a lot more than I thought it would be to get proficient in it. So that's a, you need an endorsement that's not going to be actually on the back of your pilot certificate that you can fly tailwheel. That's going to be an endorsement in your logbook. And just because you have the endorsement in your logbook doesn't mean you can fly tailwheel well. And then the last, does it matter? Question mark. I won't argue that it's a safety matter. Still using correct terms as part of the right stuff for being a professionally minded pilot. So humor me, please, and say it right. I would agree with that. I agree with the FAA. Susan Parson looks like wrote this back in 2016. So yes, it is not a pilot's license. It is a pilot's certificate. Your certificate has ratings usually on it. Well, always. Yeah, it's going to have ratings too of one degree or the other. And endorsements are going to be in your logbook for even more privileges. That's the fun fact for today. The facts, I guess. Yeah, shoot me an email, faraim@robertberger.com, spelled B-E-R-G-E-R, the German way, not the sandwich way. If you have any more questions or comments or concerns, if you're concerned, those are always fun. We do have a 5-star written review, I do. We forgot last episode was rough, even though all three of us were here. Buick's Fit Turbo? Buick's Fi Turbo? You're killing me with these usernames here. 5-star review. Great stuff. Keep up the great work. I love the content, and it's helped tremendously as I've just started flight lessons. Well, congratulations, Buick's Fit Turbo, if I'm pronouncing that right. That's awesome. Just started flying lessons. This is going to be some of the coolest times of your life. It's an amazing journey that you're going on. That, whenever you talk to a pilot and you start talking about just that initial learning to fly, it always just brings, at least for most people I've met, brings back great memories. I'm sure there's exceptions to that rule, but for the most part, yeah, it's awesome. Congrats on getting that started. Was supposed to record last night with Ryan Eckel and I, but he got a fire call because he's a fireman. So we do mean to get guests on here. I know we've been neglecting the guests this season. That's mainly been from tech capability, but we're getting over the tech capability. We should start live streaming here at some point. Again, if you are not yet on the email list to get notified when we're live streaming, and I'll probably start adding other stuff to that email I send out once in a while too. But the main point of the list at this point of the game is just to notify you when we're going to be live streaming, because we're going to somehow figure out how to do that. I'm not sure. I got the computer that should be able to do it now. Now we're trying to figure out how to do it, because I knew how to do it on a Mac, and the new computer's a PC, and I'm trying to now learn Windows 10 on top of trying to learn the new editing software. So it's just, there's a learning curve here. Bear with us. Hopefully everybody will be back next week. Until next time, take care.